Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we are very grateful, rejoicing in your presence, thanking you for the reality of this hour. God appearing amongst the people, coming to the Gentiles by the Holy Spirit to bless the people called out for his name, even as you went to Israel. And we thank you, Lord, that now we are not one whit behind, but Alpha has become Omega, and even greater, for we know at this time that which has never yet happened will happen. At the end of this 6,000 years, man will walk into immortality. A group of people, we're very grateful for that. We thank you, Lord, we have the assurance of this hour, the faith that has risen in our hearts to this end. And Lord, we know it has nothing to do with us as though we ourselves did, but we rejoice in thee and thy great word, the great word of manifested promise. We commend ourselves into this hour, we might know thee and thy ways more perfectly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I didn't bring a letter from some good friends of ours, the Hawk and Barry, saying how much you enjoyed the meeting, but you met Sister Marge Glasser. She writes to the whole church, Brother and Sister Vail and all who helped to make my stay a very lovely and happy one. Just want to thank you for all your kindness and hospitality, making me as well as all the others so welcomed in your midst. It was the happiest weekend of my life. The services administered to me and the fellowship, and the last but not least was the food, was wonderful. Such great cooks. Thank you again for everything. God bless you all in Christ, Sister Marge Glasser. You've been so nice, so thoughtful too. A special thanks to all of you. So that's the way they all felt. And I'm very proud of you, commend you. I remember way back in Quincy, I used to, I don't feel offended now because I'll speak my mind and nobody wants to get hurt. I used to remember when we used to come together and with our little get-togethers with food. I wonder if you even brought enough for yourselves, let alone anybody else. But you know, you developed fantastically. And I want to tell you, you're over the hump and far beyond you. You bring lots for everybody, cook beautifully, good hospitality. And that's part of the gospel, you know. Many people don't put much premium on hospitality, but you read your Bibles, you'll find out a big premium is put upon it. There must be hospitality. And, of course, a lot of that devolves upon those who take leadership in the church. That's part of their job. A lot devolves upon the women. They have to do extra work, but then again, you'll be rewarded. Not even a glass of cold water will lose its reward. A lot of people, you know, just don't believe that Bible. The simplicity gets over their heads, and they think if they're very erudite spiritually and very wonderful in many ways, that's some great thing. No. That's not it. The simplicity is what it's all about. Now, let's see. I want to just go along here before I get into reading out of the Rapture book and make a little clarification of something Brother Branham brought to our attention. And that is, and I might as well sit down and be real friendly. Can't get too mad when you sit down. You know. If I could learn to sing like they do in the opera, you couldn't, you can't get too cantankerous singing. Like often said, how do you sing to a man, I'm going to beat your head off and then knife you 3 times in the ribs? You know, by the time he got through singing that, he'd be so incongruous, he'd likely laugh at the guy, throw a cream puff at him and walk out. So, you sit down, you don't say, no, I wasn't going to say anything anyway bad tonight. Brother Branham made a statement that I think pretty well goes over a lot of people's understanding. It's not that they don't understand it, but it is that they don't understand it. So that, in a never-never land, you accept what is said, and then you don't know how to apply it. Now, one of those statements is this. You must let your own thinking go. So right away they go into a seance. Or sort of think they're mystics from the Orient, where you look at the end of your nose, and you try to blank out and see how long you can remain thoughtless. Like a woman one day, she phoned her pastor. I think I told you this, supposed to be a true story back in Pentecost. And she said, oh, pastor, she said, I've had such a wonderful day because of such a great revelation. Well, he thought this must be fantastic. What was it? She said, you know, the scripture says, in such a moment as you think not, he cometh. And I've been trying all day long not to think. Now, that's not what the prophet said. To let your thinking go means this. When he brings a subject to your attention, act and think as though you never heard of it. Because you're all messed up. So if you don't let your thinking go, everything that that man says, and I've got the same trouble trying to deal with people, is they're always trying to figure and evaluate and put into context
what I am saying in the light of their understanding. Forget it. You will never understand the presence on the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Which proves you ain't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the first place, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not trying to put anybody in or out. That's not my job. But when you come to certain things that Brother Branham taught, then you have got to go, blue, and forget what you ever heard. Now, he categorically said the rapture was a revelation. Then if it's a revelation, we don't got it. Huh? We don't got it. So, if you don't got it, put everything out of your mind, because if you think you got it wrong. Because you don't got it. Right? You really believe that? That's nice of you. Because 90% don't. And they care less. Now, how far did I get on the baptism with the Holy Ghost until I finally said, are you trying to tell me that the baptism with the Holy Ghost and rebirth is one and the same thing? I had to let my whole thinking go. Is that what you're saying? My God, is that what you're saying? Now you got it, Doc. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Murder on the Rue Morgue. Or on the Shanghai Express. I was shanghaied on my verbosity and my brain picking 4.5 hours, and I couldn't believe, shut up and forget what you think you know, because you know nothing. Paul the Apostle one day got very nice. And he said, no man knows anything he ought to know. And he said, what came the word of God and you came it out of you? He said, if it came, just shout and sit down and listen. Now, see, what we're getting at here, when a prophet comes on the scene, it's because all tables at the end time are full of vomit. It's burpy food. Now, it's bad enough to eat food that isn't sort of pre-digested by somebody else, and you burp it because it's sauerkraut and wieners. That's first-hand burp. Without the second-hand burp. Well, we've had years of first, second, third, and fourth-hand burp food. That's what's wrong with the people in this message. They can't sit still. And when the prophet says, now listen, I'm going to tell you something that is not known, or I'm going to put you right, they all evaluate it by what they think they know. Why don't you evaluate everything by what he said? Now, that famous German fellow that's full of adultery, now he's trying to cloak with polygamy. I might as well. I care less what I say, because I don't care. We know what he is. He never could take what Brother Branham said. Never believe there's 3.5 years left to Israel. Never believe these things that Brother Branham said. So he goes to Scripture. And, of course, when he goes to Scripture, he evaluates everything in the life of what Brother Branham didn't say and what maybe he thought he should say. Big mouth. No, you can't do that. All right. Brother Branham said there's 3.5 years left. He said the new heavens and the new earth is created after the white throne, which is New Jerusalem. He put everything into context. Now, if you read certain portions of Scripture, like, for instance, behold, I create heavens, a new heavens and earth. That's 17th verse of Isaiah 65. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Well, that's at the great time when he wipes through every tear. And there's no remembrance. That goes to the book of Revelation. So it tells you, be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people of joy. Now he tells you right there, that's Mount Zion come down upon the new heavens and from the new heavens to the new earth. So you know what it is. Now watch this thing, though. There shall be no more tents and infant in days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled these days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build another inhabit. They shall not plant another eat. For as the days of the tree, the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth in trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed, and their offspring with them. It'll come to pass before I answer while they're speaking, I will yet hear. Now that's at the New Jerusalem. When the pillar of fire is over Jesus Christ, the Lamb. Now that's verse 25 of it. Now let's go back over here. Now, there shall be no more tents in infinite days, nor no man that hath not filled these days. Now right away the mind goes, Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z. There's going to be a lot of kids born in the millennium, therefore. He's talking about New Jerusalem. For a child shall die in 100 years old. Now listen, let's read this. To just show how stupid you and I get when we just have our own thinking. Now watch. There shall no more be an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. Now that tells you something. Then it says, for the child shall die in 100 years old. That ought to tell you something. And that ought to tell you, you don't know what that means. So don't try to figure it. But the sinner being 100 years old, because, now it tells you here, you'll be a baby at 100 years. You'll be a sinner at 100 years, an old man. Now make up your mind. Oh, you say that. Well, tell me what it is. Go ahead. Without a prophet, you're shot. Now you know there's something in there we're not getting. Then why try to get it? Well, you say, Brother Bill, we ought to know all things. Tell God that. Tell God that. See, look, when you're dumb, smarten up and leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Because he's running back and forth in here, in the new heavens and the new earth, and he's telling you various things that you just got to let alone. Why? Because the light the prophet shed for this hour is this. 3.5 years left to Israel. Now you go on reading the 66th chapter. Heaven is my throne, earth my footstool. Where is the house you build me? Where is the place of my rest? That's already been taking place. That's Christ, the head of his own house that he's building. You don't build it, I don't build it. Why? Because we're the stones that are being built in. All these things that my hands made. He that kills an ox as though he slew a man. That's human sacrifice. Taking swine's blood. Abomination. Idolatry. Hear the word of the Lord and tremble the word. Your brethren hated you. Cast you up for my namesake. Said, let the Lord be glorified. They'll kill you for my namesake, he said. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. That's right. There's coming a time when he did appear. And the rest don't get the appearing. And the appearing will bring you to the rapture. A voice of noise in the city. A voice in the temple. The voice of the Lord that renders recompense to enemies. Well, that tells you that's happening in 2 Thessalonians. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before pain came, she delivered a man-child. Certainly the bride is going to get out of here before the great tribulation. Who hath heard such things and seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in a day? Shall a nation be born at once? Certainly. Israel is going to come as a nation. Rejoice with ye, Jerusalem. Be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice with her, all ye that mourn for her. That ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of consolation, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace here like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be born upon sides, and be dandled upon knees. And as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you'll be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart will rejoice, and your bones perish as a herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with chariots with the whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and rebuke with flames of fire. And he tells you right there. That's Revelation 19. And so the rod of iron destroys the Gentiles. That's where he comes through it. And he comes back, having made himself known to Israel, the 144,000, and now the bride comes forth, and she's blessed. Now you can put a lot of things in here and say, what does this mean? What does that mean? I don't care what it means. I can only interpret Scripture by what has been given to me by a prophet. Anything else I got to put under my mind? You don't read the Bible anymore with an understanding you once had. That's one of the toughest things in all the world to get away from. There's no way. There's no way you can mix this message with anything. There is no way. The minute you try to mix this word, you're completely finished and wipe yourself off the map. So, all right, the rapture is a revelation. That's what we're looking at. So we're going to take the book on the rapture, and I'm going to read some of it for you. Beginning at page 27, I would not have you, your brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you're sore not, even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's God will bring forth with him. For this we send you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. The word prevent means to hinder them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend. Now listen close. The Lord himself shall descend from the heavens with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, I want you to notice a great thing taking place here now. Don't miss this, see? Now notice. The word says here in Thessalonians that there's three things. Notice. From 13 to 16 verse where there's three things that has to happen before the Lord himself appears. Do you hear what he said? Now either he's all screwed up or he knows what he's talking about. He's a man that's so pitiful in his expressions, he should have shut up and sat down. Now here's where you got to let your thinking go, number one. See? Notice, from verse 13 to 16, there's three things that has to happen before the Lord himself appears. Now what's he talking about? Now right off the bat, your mind is so used to thinking of the appearing of the Lord in the sense of fundamentalism, you can't shake what you just heard unless you've really been sitting tight over these years. Now, if you know anything about fundamental doctrine, you that know nothing about it, how fortunate you are. A good, raw, old heathen, especially Roman Catholic, is the best bet in this message there is. A fundamental Baptist or Pentecostal isn't worth his salt. Unless he can get his brains knocked out and some more brains knocked in by God. I've preached tough, but I'm hanging tough because this is what's wrong with this message. Now listen again. Three things that has to happen before the Lord himself appears. Quickly now so we can close see. The first thing happened, notice. A shout, a voice, a trumpet. For the Lord himself, 16 verse of the assembly of the shout with the voice of the archangel trumpet of God. Three things happened. A voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now a shout. Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. Now if that isn't cockeyed language, I never heard it. I'm going to be honest with you. He's got to be talking about two different things. He can't be talking about one thing. You can't have him up, you can't have him down at the same time. Three things has to happen before the Lord himself appears. Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. All right. A shout. What is a shout? It's the message going forth first. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Now who's he gonna? Now just a minute. This is a message. Now let's just go ahead a little step and acquaint you with the fact that the shout is a message, but the voice is a resurrection. Right? So therefore you can't get the shout and the voice mixed up. The shout goes one place and the voice goes another place. The shout does one thing and the voice does another thing. And you're dealing with two groups of people, living and dead. Now he does all three in descending. A shout, what is a shout? It's a message going forth first. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Now right off the bat, you got to let your thinking go. I ran into that when I heard him say it. Oh man, I sat there that December the 4th in Yuma, Arizona, and I said, Brother Branham, you've said a lot of funny things. This is the worst thing you ever said in your life. If this isn't the most cooked up thing I ever heard. And I suddenly said, just a minute, when was he ever wrong? So, shouts a message. My thinking went. Now, if you can't let your thinking go, you're never going to get anywhere. You can't interpret the word of this hour from fundamental hogwash, claptrap, balderdash, puke, vomit, you name it. You can't do it. You can't put old new patches on old garments. If you can't start over again, you've had your day in court. You can't interpret. Anyway, from a premise that's fallacious. If you start doing mathematics on the ground that A squared minus B squared is A plus into, or A plus B into A plus B, you've messed up like Hoffman's goat. It's A minus B and A plus B. Both in parentheses give you A squared minus B squared. Right? I think that's right. Pretty close. Because A squared plus B squared is A squared plus 2AB plus B squared. I forgot a lot, but not that much. Now listen. What is a shout? A shout, it's the message going forth first. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. All right. Let's just go and find out. All right. Now I want you to know this is sure, and you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. How many messages are there? Who's the author? How does it get here? At what time? I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just a voice, and my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper, old Skunk Skinner Brand. I love these old boys sitting on the dump heap and on the taking care of skunks. Ha, ha, ha. Well, he sits in the judgment with the Father. But it's the will of my Father I declare to do and determine to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. Now what's he saying? There is a message I'm packing. I have nothing to do with any more than a voice. And who's packing the message? The one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things. Who's doing the appearing? The Son of Man. Where is he doing the appearing down here on earth? These things that happen as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. So shut up and sit down, William Branham. He said, thank you. I've been doing it for 40 years. What have you been doing? Well, I'm not quite so successful, feller, but I'm trying to get there. Huh? Well, come on. Is what I surrendered myself to, that he spoke through, it isn't me, it wasn't the seventh messenger, oh no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man, it wasn't the messenger, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel, the messenger, was not the Son of Man, he was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ, then who came down? Saw him down the river, came right down over him. Yoo-hoo, up there. I'm not there, I'm here. Now, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious. You might think so, but I'm trying to get this point across, brother, sister. I didn't quite finish reading. This is my favorite portion. He's the one that you're feeding on. You can't even see him. How do you know you're feeding on him? A man, his words obey, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. It's a message going forth first. The living bread of life, you're feeding on it. There is no word out, nothing outside of this message will come to light. Now God has a way of doing things. He never changes his policy. He never changes his. He's the unchanging. God in Amos 3 and 7, he said he would do nothing on the earth until first he revealed it to his servants, the prophets. Just as he promised it, he'll do it. Now we come to the church ages, but we're promised in the last days, according to Malachi 4, there would be a return again. A prophet in the land, that's right. Notice his nature. What he'd be like, oh, God uses that spirit 5 times. Once in Elijah and Elisha, John the Baptist, call out the church. The remnant of the Jews, 5 times. Grace, Jesus, G-A-S-U-S, F-A-I-T-H for faith. It's a number of grace, 5 times. See, 5 letters. All right. Now remember the message is promised. And when all these mysteries has been also bundled up by the church of Ecclesiastes, it will take a direct prophet from God to reveal it. What? The message? And what is the message? The mysteries? That's exactly what he promised to do. See, when? In Acts 3? Yes. And in Ephesians 1? Now remember, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, not the theologian, the prophet. So they want to make me a theologian. He's a reflector of God's word. He can't say nothing. He can't say his own thoughts. He can only speak what God reveals. And Brother Branham said he was the only one that could do it. He said everybody else couldn't touch him. They could have their visions. They could have their dreams. They could have their revelate, their discernment. They could have it all. But he was the only one who could tell it exactly as he saw it. Nobody could. And he proved it by dreams. And he'd take your dream and say, Junior, you didn't tell me all of your dream. He said to Paul, boy, don't tell me a dream, Paul, I'll tell you. And he told Paul things I think that Paul forgot. You're dealing with a super, super man. who, when it came to a mind, when God would superimpose his mind on William Branham didn't have a mind. Oh, say, Brother Bill, I can't take that. The Spirit is it. I'm going to say what Peter said to Simon the sorcerer with his money. That's where you're going, right to the lake of fire. Your stinking theology is going to go with you. If you can't beat that, don't talk about a Bible. Have at least the guts of a Bob Ingersoll. That's right, I mean it. There's no time for make-believers. There's no time for unbelievers. Probably got a little bit of time for foolish virgins, but not much. How can a prophet say anything but what God puts in his mouth? Where does he put it? In the mouth. It's a thing that God does that you can't say nothing else. And you're born that way. Anybody not born that way sure got to have a lot of faith to breathe that way. That's right. That's right. Same seed. Different office. And no more than you could. If you could say, I can't open my eyes when you're looking, see, you can. You can't reach your hand when you can, see? You can't be a dog when you're human. You're just made thus, and God has always, too, in the ages through Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all, Elijah, in the ages gone by, when the ecclesiastic group would get all mixed up, he would send a prophet, raise him up from nowhere. He to belong to none of their situations, speak his word, call out the scene and be gone, just rugged man of the truth of God. Brother Branham got called off. Nobody didn't believe he would be, but he was. Now, I said, do what you want with what he had to say. Now, let's see if you get rid of your own mind. Let's see if you keep coming to the prophet's message with your own understanding. Junk it. You say, Brother Bill, how far are you? Oh, about 0.9% to get there. I ain't very smart. I've got trouble. I tell you people, I'm not a prophet. I got to look at the word, go back and forth, know there's something there. I just do something. I don't say I do the best I can even. And it's always the way you could tell him. He said, if there's one among you who's spiritual prophet, now prophet, there's just a gift, there's such a thing as a gift of prophecy in the church. But a prophet is predestinated and foreordained for the hour. See, yes sir. Now if a prophecy goes forth, two or three have to sit and judge whether that's right or not, for the church can receive it. But nobody sat before a prophet. Because he was absolutely the word of God. You tell that to a Baptist. How many Baptists used to be Baptists? You ain't no more. Got two former Baptists here. Cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, purged by the word of God, on their way to glory. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. One of these days, I'm going to tell you something. You talk about Brother Branham screaming around that stump because he saw that eagle and heard the voice of God, as it were, in the universe. I say, one of these days, we're going to scream just like we'd beside ourselves. You will. Don't worry. Back in the old Pentecostal days, Brother Branham said people got beside themselves. They spoke in tongues. They had no word to utter. They had to speak in tongues to give expression. One day, we'll, as it were, strangled voices come out of our throats. Because there's a depth of understanding there that cannot be expressed. A mingling of spirit with spirit, soul with soul. A body just about ready to be glorified. God, I'm going to tell you, and you think you're going to stand around and say, you'll scream until the rafters tremble. You know what it is where they have thunders to thunder in your soul? Not a bunch of junk that people say are the thunders, but the real word of God. Okay. He was the word of God in his age. He's seen God reflect. Remember the reflection I told you about? Sure, what's he reflect? The only thing, he's a mirror. He reflects what God gave him. And he reflects it to you and me. What do we reflect it right back. Yeah. If that's living word, he reflects, you reflect. And he's reflecting God's image to you, which is the revelation of what image you're in, you are in. What will you reflect back with the image of God? And what are you? The image of God. I don't think I believe that, Brother Bill. And you don't believe the word of God. You just don't believe. You're an unbeliever. Why? Because God said so. So I'm humbled. You're a liar. You're an arrogant, loud-mouthed liar. What's humility? Humility, Brother Bailey. Humility is saying about yourself what God said. Made him a liar for 45 years, spit in his face. Forget it. Thank you, Jesus. You talk about loving my soul. I'll never know his love. There's no way. No way. If I'd have been God, it'd have killed me. Stamped my guts up and thrown me in the lake of fire. That's why I say if he wants to do that now, I'll just have to be resigned or something. I've seen his love. I know his love. Humility? Ha! Stinking, rotten pride of the devil called humility. They tried to make Jesus what he was, what he said. If I say I haven't seen him and don't know him and I'm not the Son of God, well, I'll just let you. He said, I have seen him. I know I am the Son of God. What are you going to do about it? He said, well, kill you. He said, go ahead. I'll rise up again. Oh, boy. Let's just run around screaming. Start screaming out. Amen. Bless God. I tell you what. This sets a person's soul on fire. Now, if God has promised to send us that again in the last days to bring the bride out of the ecclesiastical mess, only way it can be done, it'll never otherwise never be done. The church can't receive Christ. The Pentecostals, we can't carry this message on in the condition the church is in today. How are we going to see, he literally tumbles over his words, he wants to get the whole thing out. How are we going to carry out the end time in the condition they're in today when everyone against another, other, and everything else, and ecclesiastically, oh mercy, it's a mess. It's gone to denominations. At any time I ask any historian to say different. Every time that a message went forth to the earth, and when they organized it, died right there. And Pentecost done the same thing as they all did. Pentecost had come out. You assemblies of God, when your forefathers and mothers come out of the organization back there in the old general council, shout and praise God and talk those things, and you turn like a dog to its vomit, and a hog to its wallet, done the same thing they did. Now, so ecclesiastic, you shut up your bowels of compassion, and you have a fellowship card before you even get an associate with you hardly. And you won this. God gave you a message like that. Instead of you going ahead and just keeping humble and go ahead, you had to turn loose and organize your group. Where are you at? All of you. Same bucket. What is it? Bucket of vomit. That's exactly the Spirit of God moving on. I, the Lord, will plant. I'll water it. Night and day, lest some pluck it. You know, that's that verse, pluck it out of my hand. He quotes that a lot before he's taken off the scene. He ordained these things to be. Oh, this is the end. Right. That's right. He quoted this a lot before this sermon. He ordained these things to be, and he must send this. The first thing when he starts descending from the heaven, there's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. A message come forth first. Now, lamp trimming time. Now watch where he puts it in Matthew 25. Rise and trim your lamps. What watch was that? The seventh, not the sixth, the seventh. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Rise and trim your lamps. And they did. Some of them found they didn't even have any oil in their lamps, see? But it's lamp trimming time. It's Malachi 4 time when you come. It's Luke 17 time. It's Isaiah. All those prophecies that it can perfectly set in order for this day in the scriptures. We see it living right there. See, these things happen, my dear brother, sister, when God in heaven knows I could die on the platform right now. You just ought to walk around a while. It's tremendous. When you see God come from the heaven, stand before groups of men and stand there, declare himself before groups of men. And I'm a man and I stood there. I sat there. God was in front of me because he said so. I wasn't on a ladder and I wasn't up in the clouds. Now, that's not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You can call it the churches if you want to, call it what you want, but that's God. Stand. Now, listen. When you see God come from the heaven, stand before groups of men and stand there, declare himself, exegeticize himself just as he ever did, and that's the truth the Bible opens. See, we're here. Now, he's talking about the Lord descending. But they can't realize the Lord said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand. He's talking about bringing the sun back to earth. And the descent of the sun coming down to earth is in step 1, 2, 3. And he still doesn't come down as we rise to meet him and then we come down to earth. Huh? Amen. Hear your own thinking. The denominational system is dead. It's gone. It'll never rise again. It'll be burned. That's what you do with the husk of the field. You say, Brother Bale, you believe a horrible thing. Do I? And God's a horrible God. I'm sorry. Telling me he's a horrible God. When it comes to burning, would you sooner burn than me? Would you sooner love or be hated? Woman came to me years ago and said, oh, she said, Brother Bale, I don't know what to do. I just couldn't take it. If I had to believe, she said that God's a sovereign God and he predestinates one, and, you know, to one way and predestinates another way. So I said to her, well, that's too bad, but that's how he does it. Yep. I didn't even put my time without a mirror. I go by feelings this time and not by faith. By faith, I can feel my way. People on tape won't catch that. What it was, the tide just came undone here. One of those clip-on rascals. I like it, though. It's easy to do that. The denominational system is dead. It's gone. It'll never rise again. It'll be burned. That's what you do with the husk on the field. Freed from it. Get into Christ. Don't say, I belong to Methodist, I belong to Baptist, I belong to Pentecostal. You get into Christ. And if you're in Christ, there's not a word written in here but what you believe it. And he's already told them what a prophet's like, and they don't believe it. They said, well, bless God, I got the Holy Ghost. I can read. Fat. I can read better than most of them, and I can't read. And if you're in Christ, there's not a word written in here but you believe it. I don't care what anybody else says. And then God makes the thing manifested. Because you, when he pours the Spirit upon the Word, what happens? Just like putting water on any other seed, it'll live. It'll bring forth of its kind. You see, I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now watch how he explains that in paragraph 148 later on. So please, hold your horses. You see, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That don't mean that you're saved not along by a long ways. You say, well, just a minute now. I get saved first, then I get the baptism. That is correct. But you see, he's talking about their baptism. That anointing. Looky here. You are a triune being. You are inside this little fellow. There is a soul. The next is a spirit. The next is a body. So deep inside comes soul. On top of the soul is spirit. On top of the spirit's body, right? Now you've got five senses in this body to contact your earthly home. They don't contact the rest of it. You've got five senses of the spirit in here. Love and conscience and so forth like that. But in here is where you live. That's way down inside. That is what you are down in the soul seat. Didn't Jesus say the rain falls on the just and unjust? Put a cockleburr out here and weed out here and pour water on them and keep them under fertilization and things like that. Won't they both live by the same water? Come on. God made everything by one law. Like he said, the orniest woman, a prostitute, can have a child, and she got him, and the Lord gave it to her. He gave it because God laid the law. Sure, but what is it? One of them will bear a cockleburr because that's all he is. The cockleburr will raise his hand and shout just the same as the wheat. So I don't like that. I do, because the prophet said it. That's going to get me out of here. I like anything going to get me out of here. I'll bite lock, stock, and barrel. By the grace of God, I'll milk it down to the last iota if he lets me. Don't the Bible say in the last day there shall come false Christ? Not false Jesus, now false Christ. Anointed ones, falsely anointed the word. Denominationally anointed, but not to the word, for the word will bear record of itself. Sit still, folk. If you're in the word, you ain't going to miss it. If you're out of the word, you are going to miss it. Just that simple. Yeah, that's kind of tough to preach like this, but I can't help it. He said so. I'm putting myself in the spot. I put myself in the spot for years. I said, this word will come back on me. the word that you preach and you believe will come back on you, period. If it's a denomination, you get what comes back on denominations, fire. If you're believing right, you're one of this word, you're going to be that glorious class of the end of the ages, 6,000 years, a group of people will not die. Wow! What's coming on the scene? Man! No wonder I don't care traveling the world and look at all the things in the world. What do I want to worry about the world for? Sure, I could get ticked and just bum around the world. They say, well, Brother Bill, come over here and put you on a safari. I said, who needs a safari? That's a big African deal. Pay your ticket. Fine. Who wants to go? Maybe they'll let you go instead of me. I'm not interested. Why? I don't know why. So you're getting old. I have gotten old. I'm not getting old. I've gotten old. But I'm not seeing the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Ha! 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 These guys got gimmicks and rackets. The word will bear record of itself. It don't need nothing else. It'll bear record of itself. And there will come false anointed ones. You got my tape on that. And that anointed. Anointing. Oh, if you'd call one and say, oh, are you Jesus? He says, certainly not. They wouldn't stand for that. When it comes to, oh glory, I got the anointing. That makes them a Christy. And it's a genuine anointing. Now that's what he's talking about over here. See, I got the baptism. I got the anointing. Doesn't mean a thing. Remember, Caiaphas had it too and prophesied. So did Balaam have it and prophesied. But that don't have nothing to do with the inside. Unless that was God's seed, his gene from the beginning, predestinated, you're finished. I don't care what you speak. You shout, speak in tongues, run, shout. There's nothing. That's nothing to do with it. A cocklebur can count just as much as any of the rest of them. I've seen heathen rise and shout, speak in tongues, and drink blood out of a human skull, and call in the devil, see? If you don't want any of them sensations and things, forget it. It's your heart in that word, and that's Christ. Bring it in there and watch it make itself known just as it opens up like any other seed and declares itself for the age it's living in. In other words, if you've got that seed in you, you'll see the water seed of the word for this hour. It is your part of it. It's a part of you. You're not surprised. You're gratified. You're not horrified. You'll be glorified. Luther could bring nothing but sprigs. These others could bring these other things. We're in the weed age now. Genuine Lutherans had to bring forth genuine Luther. Genuine Pentecost had to bring forth genuine Pentecost, that's all. But we're past that age and going on. You got to bring forth what? The genuine word of this hour, immortal. And this stage is when the firstborn, the first begotten from the dead come forth. They're all going to be rising here. We're going to see them. We're going to be changed. It's resurrection time. He that liveth and believeth in me will never perish. You know the Catholic Church started up Pentecostal? Now, the Pentecostal Church has been 2,000 years to be worse shaped than what the Catholic is now. That's exactly. Now, I say that to my brethren and sisters whom I love, and God knows that. And Brother Branham did love them. I ask you a question. Brother Branham said that he gave 750,000 converts to the Trinitarian Assembly of God. Where are they today? Good question. See, strict evangelization, isn't it? You put nothing on anything but the word of this hour and the revelation, because those 750,000, where are they? Will they come up in the first resurrection? Will they be bribed? By no means, because they're Trinitarians. Will they be foolish virgin? I don't know. It's quite possible. Very, very possible. You say, were those the ones that Brother Branham saw? Could very possibly be. I haven't the least idea. Well, I have a least idea, and this I believe they are. I don't know. But I don't put a faith in it, though there's a revelation. I just don't know. I would say that's true, but I don't know. Now, I say this to my brethren and my sisters who I love. And God knows that. Remember, friends, I got to meet you yonder the judgment. And that may not be too long. I've got to bear record of what's the truth. When I went forth in the meetings and you praying, with you praying for the sick, it was fine. But when I came with the message, now you're talking to Pentecost, when I came with the message. Now, remember, he's talking about the message on page 29, paragraph 141. He ordained these things to be, and he must send this. The first thing come forth when he starts to send him heaven, there's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. Who came with the message? William Branham. Who did he come to? Pentecostals. Who brought the message? God. Who intoned it, echoed, reverberated, set it forth? William Branham. Who packed it? William Branham. If any message go forth, if it's a true message, if it's true, genuine miracles of God, and it hangs right in that organization, you know it's not a God, because that thing's already declared. In other words, organization didn't do what he did. He stood apart from organization, and the whole bunch couldn't do what he did. I still challenge him, come and heal my hangnail. Don't say, Brother Vail, have faith. I'm going to stand back and have no faith. I'm going to stand here and say, you do it. William Branham could do it. Challenge you, bring your worst case. And every devil in hell stand back there scoffing and snorting. And saying, yeah, 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 can't be done. And it would be done. Look at those heathen here. Those hundreds of thousands. He said, you have been talking about God so smart, you got all the answers. Come here and see this man healed in the name of your God. Come on, he said. Oh, he said, you're awfully silent. He'd go to them. Just like old Elijah did up there in the Mount Carmel, the 400 prophets of Baal. He said, come on, he said, maybe he's sleeping. Beat louder. Cut your bodies more. Gush more blood. Dance harder, wilder, sharper. Come on, he said, he may be out hunting on a vacation. Maybe he lost his eye tooth and he's hunting for it. Yes, maybe he had a big drunk and he's snoring it off. He goaded him. And Brother Branham goaded him. He said, you're awfully quiet. He said, what will you do if my God, in the name of Jesus Christ, heals this man now? And of course the man got his eyesight. So he said, you organization ain't got it. I got it. That lets you know that God's not confirming his word amongst you. The word of this hour. That was just going to turn the hearts back. See? Now listen. Jesus went forth and healed the sick in order to catch the eyes of the people. Then his message. Why did Brother Branham have the first two signs? The sign in the hand. And then the sign of discernment. To catch him with the message. When the message comes, you know, Brother Branham was to the Pentecostals like a certain preacher I know was to me. He bragged and bragged how good a preacher he was. And I thought, this man I got to hear, but I knew he bragged too much to be any good, really. So he'd come forward, and he'd supercharge and superload what he was going to say. Bang, 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 here it comes. Plop. You remember that little funny paper and the little guns you could buy? And you pull the trigger, and the little flag came on and says, pop. And then he'd take point to, plop. And every time he'd, plop. Never went back. There went back. God came on the scene with signs. Every biblical sign. And was pow. What was it like the day that Jesus was crucified upon Calvary? With two thieves. And the one thief railed was plop. And the other thief in the same condition and worse said, he saw something. What could you see in a man that was supposed to be the Messiah hanging on a cross and dying? And he said, I got it. You're that king. Amen. What did he see? It was bang! The cannons of heaven went off. Put the other guy. Paul. Well, if you're the one, why don't you get down and save yourself in it? United Pentecost. Oneness people, they said, well, if he'd have been the prophet, he'd have come to us. He did. And they died. Okay. Miracles like that just catch the eyes of the people. The main heart of it is the message. Is what comes from in here. He's trying to get the favor of the people so they'll sit and listen to him, see? For there's some in there that's ordained to life. What life? He ain't going to die, even some of them. And some of the grain, wheat fell on the ground, the birds picked it up. Some fell among thorns, and some went on to prepared ground, pre-prepared ground, and brought forth. Now, the first thing is the sounding, a shout. Then a voice, then a trumpet. Shout. A messenger getting the people ready. The second is the voice of the resurrection. The same voice, that loud voice in St. John 11:38-44 called Lazarus the Great. Getting the bride together, then the resurrection of the dead. What brides are getting together? The non-dead. From all over the world. Now, you see, I hope you're catching what in my heart I know right. He's in our midst, this very person. And I don't care if the bride's scattered. To me, she is not scattered. She's all in one place, so to speak. Time and distance mean nothing anymore. That's how time runs out. For you and me. In a sense, don't take that too literal. Getting the bride together. And then the resurrection of the Dead Sea to be caught up with it. Now watch the three things take place. What is next? Was a trumpet. A shout, a voice, a trumpet. Now the third thing is a trumpet, which always at the Feast of Trumpets is calling the people to the feast. That'll be the bride's supper. The Lamb's supper with the bride in the sky. And we're supposed to meet him there. Then what came down? Oh, you can have a lot of things here like I did years ago. He kind of descended by the word. He did this. I went all around and all around. It's the Logos. I don't care what anybody says anymore. I guess I threw an awful lot of curves. But I warned people. I say, look, I'm not a prophet. I can't hit things dead on. I know something is there. And if I just keep watching and waiting, he helps me until I feel I know what I'm saying. Of course, you don't have to know what I'm saying. I may be saying it wrong. I don't know. I've never told you people I'm authoritarian. I'm an authority, therefore authoritarian in everything I say. I wrote a letter just today, and I told a lady, I said, look, I'm not an authority. Of course I believe what I preach. I wouldn't preach it. Of course I stand for it. I expect it to happen. I'm not a prophet. I'm a believer. I hope a special kind of believer. All right. Third thing, a trumpet. See, the first thing's come forth his message, calling the bride together. The next thing is the resurrection of the sleeping bride, the one that's died back in the other ages. They're caught together, and the trumpet, the feast in the heavens, in the sky. Why? It's a thing that takes place, friends. We're right there ready now. The only thing the church coming out has to lay before the sun to ripen. Stand still. Can't do it. Can't do it. I tell a man, look, if you're coming here to have fellowship, fine, but don't come here to try to tell me anything. Try to put me right. Fella kept writing, he wrote me, finally he wrote me a letter. I began letters and letters from a place in Arizona. I should have brought the letter. He wrote a letter. He even spelled my name right. So that was kind of tricky, see? How does this guy know me? He wouldn't put his name, just put occupant, put his address. He had the guts to put his address because he got a guilt complex. He wants me to find him out, so I did. Found out who he was. So I wrote back in the letter, thought, first of all, knowing who he was, I said, the kind of thing I can say about you, sir, is that I believe you to be insane. I said, you talk about love. I said, love cuts. So I said, what about cutting yourself? He said, you need a little circumcision there. Not the exact words, but you get those exact words. Finally, I began to just lay cold on him. I made a phone call, found out who he was. Sure, he knows me. So, and I said, it sounds like you follow Philip the Evangelist. How many women have you had? How many do you have now? How many will you have? Because I know he's passed. But he excuses himself. He can have any number of marriage and divorce. It's okay. Not around Lee Bailey camp. I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't care anybody. If you want to correct me, you better know what you're talking about. I'll slice you to ribbons. I got one corrector. And I'm not taking anybody anymore. Because either I'm right today, or I've been wrong all these years, and forget it. I got a tape. A man says it, literally accusing me. He doesn't call me by name, but it's the same idea. So I went behind his back, because I went nowhere. Maybe somebody else did. I don't go behind anybody's back, say anything, teach anything. I was asking some questions in this message night. And my question is, how many men have put their thinking aside? I started back in 1965, December the 4th, when I said, Brother Branham, I've heard you say a lot of queer things and far out, but this is the furthest out. I can't take it. And then I suddenly said, but when has he ever been wrong? Then the shout is the message. I said the right thing. 14 years later. Yeah, I went into shout, as soon as he was gone, as soon as the rapture tape came up before Brother Branham died, I was right into it. I was looking up the word shout, klusma. I took a gamble, as it were. In other words, my nature, the way I do things. I'm not a prophet. But you tell me where I'm wrong. See? I've not gone to any church. But I found this one thing. I've gone to church after church and laid this out as I laid out to you. And right away, they are oriented to the baptism with the Holy Ghost. They do not know what I'm saying. And they interpret everything I say in the light of what they have had in the past. So they can't get it. How many people believe what I believe? I don't know. How many know what I teach? I don't know. And I'm not trying to be mysterious. I'm not trying to be somebody. I'm laying it on the line so you understand that I know what I'm talking about. This is the trouble with us. With everybody, we can't get rid of our own thinking. We refuse to get rid of our own thinking. We refuse to kick it all out of our minds and start over again. And when you can't do it, you're gone. I'm sorry to preach this way, but I like it. You didn't think I'd say that. Ha ha, I didn't think I'd say it myself. But one thing I'm not a liar, except when it pays, and this wouldn't pay. In other words, if you wouldn't poke me in the nose, I might lie. If you don't poke me in the nose, I say, no, I didn't do it properly. He didn't do you. But other than that, I was just kidding. You know what I mean. I always tease a lot, so for land's sake, understand I'm teasing. All right, we're right ready now. The combine will come by afterward. The wheat, the stalk part, will be burned, but the grain part will be gathered to the garner. You're not blind people. You're sensible people. And if I stood here and said those things were prejudice, I say it because it's life. Huh. Who can believe that one? You know what? Everybody but William Branham was so used to guessing by nature of prejudice and organization that they couldn't believe that this one man could stand here and say what he just said there.
Well, I can say the same thing.
Man one day said, if I tell you a lie, I'm a hypocrite. And I said, the guy's a liar right there. And a hypocrite. He's trying to quote Brother Branham. That man can't get to God the way Brother Branham could. Well, what if I get to God? Say, dear Lord, I will now take up my parable. He'd say, what parable? He wouldn't even say what parable. He knows that I know I've got enough brains to know he didn't give me a parable. And he knows that I know I've got enough brains to know I'm not a prophet. A sanctified hooligan I am. But I'm no prophet. I don't have a parable. None of those things. I can't get to God for answers. No. I've got to go where everybody else has. But I've got a little ministry. A little thing involved. I go to the Word. But not being a prophet, many times I have to move around here and move around there and move around somewhere else. But always looking on course. Like Brother Branham said, now if I put over here, he said, that's not north, it's not east, it's north by northeast maybe. What we're looking at. Now, it's not due one to the other. It's more, in other words, I may be tangential at times to the truth. But by the grace of God, I'll be dead on before it's over. Why? Because I have to study to divide. A prophet doesn't study to divide. It comes to him. Oh, my. I hope you see what I'm saying. You said you're not blind. I say because it's life, because I'm responsible to God for saying it, and I must say it. And my message. I don't go for my message. Well, it was Paul's gospel and Moses' law. What's the matter with people? Oh, I'll tell you, they're jealous. Stinking, filthy jealous.
I want to be the big shot, says a man out there in Oklahoma with the building, the 37 stories high, with the big hospital and millions of dollars, and could sell, screen doors to Eskimos. Well, we don't belong to that bunch.
All right. And my message, he calls it his message. Why? Because it was given to him. Paul said the world's going to be judged by my gospel. Right. You know something? Show me where Paul ever went back in the gospel. I can show where Peter did. Now let's get down to nitty gritty. When we get to be choosy, brother, we better be choosy because God's choosy. The Word is choosy. And it zeroes in. We zero in on Brother Branham. All the time knowing back there under healing and so forth like that was just to catch the people's attention, knowing the message would come. And here it is! What message? The shout, the Lord descend from heaven with a shout. And he does all three in descending, and he's got a voice. And then people smart off and sit under a pastor and say, well, Brother Branham made a mistake. You're as rotten as your pastor. So, and them seven seals opened. So he said, well, the seventh seal wasn't open, so he raised up Clay L. Morgan. Clay L, Clay and L meaning God. A man taking the place of God tells you flat. A special name, like Oral, Elvis, Ricky. Come on. There's one seal left on that book that ain't open. What are you going to do with it? Pride off yourself. He said we had everything to put us in a rapture. If that seventh seal isn't open, then we're not everything to put us in a rapture. Because we're gone in the seventh seal. Because Brother Brand said the seventh trump to the Israel is the same as the seventh seal to us. They were prophets. The seventh seal is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. God and man. Somebody the other day said, well, you see, I believe, and he's supposed to be in the vest. You see, Brother Bale, I believe those two prophets, you see, they're really two ministries in one man. I said, hogwash, they're two ministries. Brother Brand says so. Yeah, remember the bullet that got off a track? At the whiff, a little whiff of air at the muzzle? And it got way over there, and man said, well, I'll just crick this. The bullet comes down. Hogwash! You bring the bullet all the way back, and you put it right in the gun, and you supercharge for another blast. And this time get on target. I don't think anybody's going to get this tape here caught that. No way, shape, and form. Unless they believe the way we believe. Bring it back. Start over. Sorry about that. I'm not going to budge, folks. I'm not going to budge. Seven seals open those mysteries and showing those things is what's happened. I didn't know it, but there's men standing here right now, standing right with me, when you all heard me preach the sermon, sirs, what is the time? And that morning, exactly where it said it would be, there stood seven angels standing right, see, the word was missed out here, and I had to pen it in from the tape. Anyway, so standing, right from the heaven, there from the heaven. Does that come before? Okay. Standing there from the heaven. And as they went up in that whirlwind, taking them up there, we standing watching as they went away. Science took the picture of it all the way across the nation down into Mexico, and there I was watching. One day when I started to preach those seven church ages, I called Jack Murray, great theologian, said, Jack, who is this person there standing there? Now remember, that's in the Patmos vision, Revelation 1, 12 to 18. There's one like the Son of Man standing there, hair as white as wool. I said he was a young man. How could he have hair as white as wool? Now remember, Brother Branham called him the judge in Patmos vision. Now listen, he said, Brother Branham, that was his glorified body. That didn't ring the bell. That would have rung part of the bell. But when I went to the room and started praying, he let me know what it was. But you see, the glorified body is not the answer. See, you got to get a definitive answer. See, I've always preached that he was deity, not just the man. Now listen, don't get carried away, Jesus only. He was God manifest in the flesh. The attributes of God of love, the great attributes that came down displayed here on earth of God, Jesus was God's love which built a body that Jehovah himself lived in. He didn't say Jehovah was the body, he said there was a body he built to live in. Now that's what he was looking at. You follow me? He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What God was, he manifested through that body. That body had to die so he could wash the bride with his blood. You see what I've been teaching? I said, I finally showed you. I looked at him. But I kept watching the judge until I realized, and I showed you. From the quote, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We've crowned him. He's incarnated to us. That's what he was looking at, is that judge. Now, you're looking at the hour of when all the cataclysms break on earth. But who was it in the form of the pillar of fire that came down and was Elohim, was Melchizedek? Who was it that came down and stood as he stood before Sodom and Gomorrah? It was the judge of all the earth. But as judge, he's got to take on a body. As king, he's got to take on the body. As Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, the Bridegroom, the Lover of our souls, everyone, he will be incarnated there. That's the great consummation. You say, Brother Vail, will there come a day when he disembodies himself? Yes. The Lamb will sit upon the throne of Mount Zion and set the pillar of fire over him. You say, perhaps it'll be a division. I don't know exactly. But you see, people don't understand how God does these things. Try to keep telling you. How many people catch the understanding? He's the Son of Man, the Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. They say, oh no, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Hogwash. I'm sorry, it's Son of God, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. And literally, if you want to put it that way, he's got to be Son of God to Israel temporarily and come down and show himself and everyone gets sealed in. That's got to be Son of God in a certain way again. He can do what he wants because he never changes, essentially. And he can manifest any time he wants, any way he wants to. But you're not going to tell people that. They won't let their thinking go, oh no, we think a certain way. Well, you think a certain way and you'll die what you're thinking. Now, I've always preached he was deity. Okay, and notice, not only is the bride washed, forgiven, but she's justified. Now listen, see, did you ever try the word justify to see what it means? Now, for instance, Brother Green heard that I'd been drinking, I'd been doing bad things, then he found out he didn't. He'd come and say, I forgive you, Brother Green. Forgive me? I never done it. What are you forgiving me about? See, but if I'm guilty, then I can be forgiven. But I'm still not just because I did it. But the word justified means as though I never did it at all. Justified. And then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sins till it puts us in the book of God's forgiveness. He's the only one can do it. We can't. We can forgive. We can't forget. Now, I could forgive you. I always remember what you did, those evil things. But you're not just forgiven. But in the sight of God, the bride is justified. She never done it in the first place. Amen. Now, listen, that's a decision made by God. What's he doing? Judging the bride free. Sure. He went and disclosed himself to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to go down there and take care of that in judgment, but I'm not going to judge you. And see, I said, you're going to have a son by Sarah. She said, ha, 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 me and who else? He said, just a minute, why is Sarah laughing? She said, oh, come now. I really wasn't laughing. In the face of God. And the record of her doesn't say that in the book of Hebrews 11 chapter. It says, by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Didn't even put against her. It was not written in the book of God's remembrance. It was put away. She was justified. Oh, merciful God, I scream. Why not scream? Scream. Scream. We ought to start screaming. Realize what God has done for us. Instead of going around so stupid, so ignorant. Prophet came on the scene. God standing there in a pillar of fire and said, little bride, you didn't do it at all. We stand here spitting God's face. Yeah. Listen to half-baked preachers. Makes me sick. I get so sick I don't want another tape to go out. I want to move out of this church. I'll preach here. If anybody wants to hear me, I'll go home and preach. Scream to my wife. Might as well tell her good things. I tell her bad things. I ball her out the odd time. Might as well tell her the good things just between her and me or something. I don't understand people. What do they think? Who came down? He does all three in descending. Who's here? Oh, he always was here. Hogwash, he was always here. Not what I'm talking about. Not when the prophet said, just to think, how wonderful. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. Was he here before doing it? He would require a prophet. Where's your prophets? Alpha's Omega! There weren't five prophets in between. There's one in the end. You're not just forgiven in the sight of God. The bride is justified. She never done in the first place. Amen. Standing there married to the virtuous Son of God. Never sinned in the first place. Whew. Boy, to believe that one. Why, she was foreordained. She was trapped into this. And now when she heard the truth and come forth, the blood cleansed her. How can you make a man a sinner when the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin? There'd be no sins at all standing. And there she stands virtuous. See, no sin in her at all. Who makes verdicts like that? Judge? The judge of all the earth? Shall he not do right? What's right? Will he condemn the righteous? No way, they're going to escape. Who's righteous? Therefore the message calls the bride together. He says that in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. At the presence, the shout in the trumpet, the same morning, with a loud voice he screamed out with that shout. And that voice woke Lazarus with a loud voice. He cried, Lazarus, come forth, see. The voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. How do we get wakened up? We've had a spiritual resurrection. Shout! All was the trumpet call to Israel, the feast of the trumpets. What was the Pentecost? The feast, the great feast in the sky, the feast of the trumpets. And now a trumpet announced the calling together, calling to the feast. And now that is the Lamb Supper in the sky. Now watch. The assembling together in the bride, the feast of trumpets, and wedding supper. Now listen, we're going to go there to meet him, and who comes down with the message? He said that same Jesus who walked on earth in the flesh is here in the spirit. Is that hard? Is it too hard to understand? Is it too hard to believe? Can't you let your thinking go? Hello! And you come forth what? Justified. The day's going to come when we're going to see that in each other in the sense that we'll believe it. Now, we can believe it for ourselves because we're not too half bad, but the other guy's a skunk. And we think, well, maybe he's a better name at that. Yeah. We've seen it in types. Now watch a moment before we close. Notice we saw in types. Now I want you to read Matthew 18:16. Three bears record. See, John 1:5-7. 1 John 5:7, so forth. All was a witness. That right? Verification. Something is right. Two witnesses. In mouth of truth, witness every word to be established. Now notice we have two witnesses. There is a witness now. We've already had three raptures in the Old Testament. You know that is a witness. Now watch. Enoch was one, Elijah one, Jesus the other. Jesus being the keystone now. The one between, you see, to cross over. He bears record, see? He was the keystone between old and new because he had to die first in rapture. He died, come to life, walked around here, then was raptured up because the keystone that tied the two together. After his resurrection, the rapture. Look, after he did that, he proved the Old Testament there. We all know Enoch was translated. Elijah taken up in a whirlwind, in a chariot of fire. Jesus died, buried, rose up, lived on earth, and then was raptured up, the keystone. Three to bear record. Is that right? Now, there's been one rapture already passed. Did you know that? Let's go real quick. Matthew 27:45. 27th chapter. Let's see if we can't get right quick. A little bit will help us. The sixth hour, darkness over the land. Ninth hour, Jesus cried a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, saying, my God, why are you forsaking me? Some stood by, heard it, said, that's the calling Elias. Straightway they ran, took sponge and so on. You know the verses there. Then it said, the veil of the temple was rent. He screamed a loud voice, yield up the ghost. The veil of the temple rent, top to bottom. The earth quaked, the rocks rent, the graves were opened, many bodies that said, saints, the slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection and went to the holy city. One rapture over. That's happened in the Old Testament, where of them prepared, there's threes happened in the Old Testament of them prepared who the word of the Lord came to, see? The word of the Lord came to Enoch. The word came to Elijah, prophet, see? The word of the Lord is Jesus, see? Watch in the Old Testament. See, caught up by him. Old Testament saints. Now, watch in the Old Testament. Them Old Testament saints. Now, when this rapture first taken place, notice verse 50. His voice awakened the Old Testament saints, just exactly like the loud voice awakened Lazarus. See? The loud voice awakened. The second is fulfillment in Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. This is the first chapter, not second. Let's read it, see? I would you not be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that sleep, and so are not. Now, there will be a second rapture. The second rapture will be the catching away of the bride. The Old Testament saints have gone, now listen, the Old Testament saints have gone into his presence, paradise done away. Now, you wonder, are they in resurrected bodies? Yes. Where are they? Just what I said, they were up in his presence. It had to be before the throne. They got to be, it says, in his presence. Okay. The Old Testament saints ascended up. It's a loud voice when he screamed and gave up the ghost. Because why? The sacrifice, their propitiation of their sins that they'd waited on. Believing that perfect Lamb was coming, they'd offer the sacrifice of the Lamb. You see, as a type. And when he died and healed up the ghost, he screamed with a loud voice. The Old Testament saints awoke. Watch, the shout in the voice over there. The same thing that is coming, see? Healed up the ghost. And when he did, the sacrifice was perfect. Paradise emptied out. The Old Testament saints come out of the earth again, walked around the earth, ended in the rapture. We're going to do the same thing this time. They're going to empty out. And we're going to see them. We'll empty out of all mortality. Nothing left but goody. Okay, David said, lift up your everlasting gates, be lifted up. He led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. When the Old Testament saints went in with him, they said, who is the King of Righteousness? The Lord of glory, mighty in hosts. I'm just quoting what he said. He's stammering over it. Here they come in marching. Jesus led captivity captive. And here he comes to the Old Testament saints. Went into the new gates up there and said, lift up the everlasting gates. Be lifted up. Let the King of Glory come in. And the voice from inside said, who is the King of Glory? The Lord mighty in battle. You know what that means? Boy, he said, I just shook the gates of hell loose. Now better open up a hurry. I'll take these off the hinges too. Oh, come on, he didn't have to say that. It was his right, but I'm just letting you know, look, who's going to stand in his way? He done come forth a conqueror over hell, sin, and death, my brother and my sister. And we're the love of his life. We are his life. Let's get down to nitty-gritty. See? All right. The next rapture takes place in 1 Thessalonians for the church, the bride, to be resurrected, to be raptured into glory. We which are alive and remain, that's the body left on earth, will not hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound first, the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive remain be caught up with them. The other day I was standing in the street, but never mind that. Now, the second resurrection, all the first ones passed. Second one is at hand right now. Will come at hand now. Now, the third one, that's of the series, 1, 2, 3, is the two witnesses of Revelation 11, 11, and 12. Which these are the two ones that turns back with the Spirit of Christ to witness to the Jews like Joseph did in his brethren. Notice it says two of them, not one. Who was it that mentioned that the other day to me? I think it was by telephone. Doesn't matter. He's wrong. You remember their dead bodies laid in the streets for 3.5 days. Then the Spirit of Light came into them and they were raptured, taken up into heaven. There's your 3 raptures in the New Testament. 3 raptures in old. All of them passed. Now we're ready, waiting for the rapture. The rapture of the saints. It has been spoken. It's been spoken, so shall it be. When God says anything, all heaven and earth will pass away, the word will never fail. When God said back there in Genesis 1, let there be light, it might have been hundreds of years there before as any light. He said, let there be a palm tree, let it be an oak tree, let it be a desert, let it be a mountain, let it be this, let it be that. He spoke it, you see? As long as it went out of his mouth in a word, it had to be manifested. It has to be. Then one day he called out his people. He spoke to a man named Moses, a pillar of fire, a light, holy, sacred fire. Moses wouldn't. The people wouldn't believe Moses. He said, bring them out of this mountain. That morning, the mountain was full of fire, flashing, thunder like that. And the people said, don't let God speak, let Moses speak. See, lest we perish. And God said, I'll speak not to them anymore like this, but I'll raise him up a prophet. I'll speak through him. And if what he says come to pass, then you hear it. Because I am. I'm with him. Now, he spoke that. He said it would come to pass. Look at this prophet Isaiah standing there, a man intelligent, a man that was well thought of by the king, because he lived with Uzziah the king, which was a great man. Tried to take a preacher's place one time, went in God's spirit of leprosy. And that's what he told the businessman. You said they're not leprous? And you're denying what the prophet said. Businessmen want to run around, have a business, get in the pulpit, not this pulpit. Not interested. This is mine. You say, why? Because I'm going to be fully responsible. I won't be responsible alone. That's why I say, you've got an axe to grind, you come see me. But you better be very sharp. Know what you're doing. Now, that's just truth. That's all. I'm not boasting. I'm not a braggart. I'm not a fighter. I'm just telling you flat. I've been through with it. I've had it up to here. Or I'll walk out and go someplace else. Which I'll go home. That's the end of my ministry. I kid you not. Unless God forces me. I'm not fussing at God. I'm just not fussing at you people. I'm just telling you flat. I'm not an authority. But I believe what I preach, or I wouldn't preach it. I'm standing on it. I'll live with it, or I'll burn with it. Now, that's all there is to it. I'm not sitting on a fence. Hey. So don't get any queer ideas around me and shoot your face off, young or old. I'm not fighting at anybody. I'm not hinting at anybody. I'm making flat statements where I stand. That's all. And I keep making, lest anybody misunderstand me. It'll be on 15 or 16 or 26 tapes. And I'll say, look, I told you. I'm doing my best. If I'm wrong, you show me. Who came down? Then if he was down, he couldn't come down. Say, Brother Bale, sit down. Shut up, ignorant! What kind of a jerk are you? I am sitting down. And let's not talk like fools. I'll take the word back if you hurt another word. Fools like idiots. William Branham didn't come down. He was already down. Brother Branham said Revelation 10 and 1 came down on earth the same time that he was down here. And he said Revelation 10 and 1 was Revelation 12, 1, 12 and 18. Revelation 5 and 1 also he said it was. Go and check it out. Who came down? Who was there that he was a voice to? Then they say they believe in a prophet. They don't believe in a prophet, not the prophet I believe in. I'm sorry. Let's get their record straight. Well, you say, Brother Bill, I just don't go that far. Thank you. That's nice. I'm glad you told me. You'll eat your words. What did that preach the other day to you? On communion. What did I show you? Are you baptized? Have you got the wrong baptism? Did you take communion if you took it wrong? No. If you're anointed, are you full of the Holy Ghost? No. If you interpreted what Brother Branham said, in the light of your own thinking, when he said, let your own thinking go, listen to me as a brand new teacher of the Word, as it came to Paul. Paul was stunned. Paul, why do you persecute me? Merciful. Cry you, Lord. I'm Jesus. Hogwash. You've got to be kidding. I'm going to tell you, when that voice said, I'm Jesus, his thinking went, it was gone. There wasn't one more person he wanted to hurt. There wasn't one more case. He was gone! And when your thinking goes, you're gone. And if you go mentally, you're a vegetable or an animal. And when your thinking goes because you put it aside and the thoughts of God become yours, then you are in the image of God. And the greatest battle ever fought, son. Remember, you were talking about it 2 years ago, God. Two sermons. The greatest battle ever fought in mine on faith in the mind. And I saw the night I knew something happened to Lloyd. You say, how do you know? Don't ask me how I know. I'm a wizard. That's why I'm the witch doctor. I threw that in on purpose to jar you to the teeth. But I didn't, did I? No, I knew. How? Said you know a lot of things? No, I don't know hardly anything. But I know what I believe. I know he's here. And I know I'm not talking about the baptism with holiness. I'm talking about the baptizer with the Holy Ghost is here. Yeah. I'm talking about the one who gave the word, who was the word. He said, I told those businessmen, don't ever try to take a preacher's place. No, sir, you stay right where you're at. See, you do your work, what God put told you to. If you're a finger, you'll never be an ear. If you're an eye, ear, you'll never be a nose. A nose, an eye. See, stay in your position. But they didn't do it. Brother Branham called the big shot. He had a talk with him. He kicked his feet in the dust and walked off with tears in his eyes. Why? Because he's back in love with Dr. Price. What's Dr. Price alongside of William Branham? I knew them both. Yes, I knew them both. I knew Dr. Price's family, at least the two girls. I was a close friend of his business manager, the late Charles Jackson, who was the business manager and the aide-de-camp to General Booth. And I said, Brother Jackson, tell me, how do you compare General Booth with Brother Price? He said, all the people ask me that question. I'll say this one thing. General Booth is the only man fit to polish Charles Price's shoes. No, I knew Price and I knew Brother Branham. Don't ask me any more questions. You can't figure that one. You heard the message the other day on the broadcast trying to do God a service. David anointed king, all the people shouting and screaming. It was right, but never consulted God's prophet. And a man died, the whole thing was marred. Don't try to do God a favor. You wait till it's God's turn. Let it come in his way of doing it. I'll start this big thing, I'll do this. Be careful, brother. He told a certain man, don't run around. He said, that day is over. Run, 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 run. Annie, get your gun. Run, run, run. There's a sinner in the brink. We've got to get him in her boat. You know something? Come out of her, my people, sounds more like a call to proselytize than it does to win souls, so-called, except when you get them out, you want a soul. For he that saves a brother from his erring way has saved a sinner, so to speak, has saved a soul from sin, brought him to life. Now, David knew better than that. Nathan was in the land in that day. He wasn't even consulted at all, see? Hint, hint. The prophet said, here I am, why didn't you come? So Brother Bose stood there, and he preached 10-time evangelism. Have you read it yet? Good. A lot of you are nodding. I'll have to bring it to church and read it to you, bunch of birds. Oh, well, don't feel bad. I haven't read it myself since that last time, but I read it before. That's why I told you to read it. I read it with that in mind, too. Why do you think Brother Brand said a lot of things? You know why? Because old Evale sat there, the great theologian. Great theologian came, he said to me this day, and this last the other day, and he said, Brother Branham, that great thing coming is character, isn't it? This is not character. Well, I'd have flunked that test anyway, so let's keep walking. Fruit? How many want to try for fruit? How many want to try for charismatic? Ha! Go ahead and talk to him, chunk. Nobody can prove that one. Anything else they can prove, though, you're on the spot. Anything but tongues. They can't prove anything about tongues with you. Anything else puts you on the spot. Everybody talking tongues. Go back to Pentecost. Phooey. Come on. That's anointing. What about nearness to God? How do you get near? Tell me how you got near. Then prove it. What about obedience? When did you flunk last? What's a great thing coming? He's here. no popes, no holy men, no characters, no characterizations, no fruitatives, no additives. He's here. I believe that. Listen, I'm not being funny. He didn't consult him. He consulted captains of hundreds and thousands, big shots. I put that in there, big shots. All the people shouted, screamed, and danced. They all had religious motion. Religious motion. But it didn't say notion, it said motion. But it wasn't in the line and order of God's word, and it failed. Anything else is not in the line and order of God's word, it'll fail. Only God's word will stand forever. Heaven will pass away, my word won't pass away. Notice Isaiah, intelligent young man standing there, almost the Spirit hit him. He couldn't say no different, he was a prophet. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive under us, a son is born, a child is born, a son is born, a son is given. In name of God counts, the Prince of Peace, mighty God, everlasting Father. How's it going to be all those things in barn? He's going to have a body, he's going to get into it. And he'll be there in that body. He's going to do it again. Oh my. The government be upon his shoulders. No end of his reign. How could an intelligent man say a virgin would conceive? Everybody look for it. It's unbespoken. Thus said the Lord, it hadn't come to pass. Because it was God's word, saying to Genesis when he planted them seeds down in the sea. Planted them seeds beneath the sea, when it was without form and void, water upon the deep. Had to come to pass. One day, 800 years later, the womb of a virgin conceived the seed of God, a created seed. She brought forth a son. That same son stood there one day and he said, Lazarus, come forth. A man been dead 4 days, rotten nose fell and stunk, came forth, said, marvel not at this. Just don't get excited. There's going to be a whole bunch come forth. Man, he said, if you get excited now, he said, what are you going to do? What are you going to be when the resurrection itself takes place? You know, that's I ought to think of that myself. What was it like the night that I heard Brother Brand say, I challenge you, bring you 24, 25, your worst case is guarantee healing. And I saw hundreds go through the land, not one miss. But I didn't put it together for years later. Man, if that was something there, what about this? What about when that sweet spirit comes into the church? You say, Brother Vail, I can't wait till you get it. Ha ha, you're not half as waiting as I am. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming, amen. When all in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of God. And so then it's been spoke. It has to come. There's going to be a rapture. Oh my. I remember my last message in California. I thought I'd never go back again. Predicted Los Angeles going to the sea. Thus saith the Lord. It will. She's done. She's washed. She's finished. What hour? I mean, she's washed up, he meant. Not she washed like you and me. I don't know when, but it'll sink. It'll be sunk. Right after that, the earthquake began to jerk her around. Do you know that those earthquakes have been going on steadily? I don't know how long now. That there's no ceasing of earthquakes in California up in literally hundreds. There's no cessation. They had a big whopper in Alaska the other day again, remember? Six in the Richter scale. I'm not finished reading it, okay? You remember many of you men standing right here, that rock that day when the angel came down there, that light and fire falling from heaven around the rock where we're standing? Rocks springing out of the mountain and falling across. That's when that whirlwind came down. Blasted three times hard. Said, now listen, I said judgment will strike the west coast. How come? Not just prophetic. You're bringing in the judge on that now. Because that's a verdict. Remember that same God that said that says Los Angeles is doomed. That's the verdict. It's a prophecy. See, you'll never get a judge without a prophet. Because he is the son of, because he is the son of man, which is prophet, he will be a judge. That's why you see what we're coming to. Remember it right now. She's finished. I don't know when. I can't tell you. I don't know. I didn't know I said that. But this brother here, I believe it was one of the Mosey, I believe, had me out in the street out there. I didn't know what it was till I looked back. And I looked back in Scripture. And Jesus said, Capernaum, Capernaum, that you exalt yourself rather up into heaven, be brought down to hell. If the mighty works had been done to you, done in Sodom, you'd have stood today. And that's about 150 years there, Sodom, been in the earth. Then Capernaum's in the water today. That's true, they found it, you see. Brother Barron's correct on that. And that same Spirit of God that said all these things and done all these things that said, your old city, Capernaum, who call yourself by the name of the angels, Los Angeles, how you exalt yourself to heaven, the very root and seed of Satan, so you've exalted yourself. You that call yourself by the name of the angels, mighty work has been done in you. That it is stood today, but your hour has come, you watch and see if it ain't. I'm a false prophet. See, there she is, she's laying there. Before I seen that, I seen the preview of the bride. I stood there and seen a beautiful little lady just correctly dressed and things marching this way. There was somebody standing by in the vision. I seen, they said the preview of the bride. I seen her go by. They come on this side and went around.
And I heard it coming up, the church was coming the other side. That was the Asian church. Oh, you talk about filth. The European church, oh my. Then I heard a rock and roll singing. You know, the Elvis gang. Straight rock and roll Beatles. Miss America, the church, didn't even have any clothes on. Papers, like newspapers, you know, the hula skirt. Gray holding in front of her, dancing rock and roll, Miss America church. I stood there in his presence. And I thought, oh God, as a minister, if that's the best we could do, oh. You know how you feel. And I thought, God, hide me. If I could just get away from here, if that's all we've done, and that's what we've produced, if that's what. Then women passed by all doing all kinds of rock and roll things and short hair and painted faces, and they passed by, supposed to be virgins of Christ, and when she passed by, I turned my head, you know this, just holding that in front of me, it was disgraceful. The back of them. Did you know that Billy Paul later on got a picture of Barbara Streisand when she went to receive a reward, and that's years ago now, that the front of her skirt hung down as she saw to show the entire part of her buttocks? Isn't that marvelous? What was she trying to do? Was she trying to show her buttocks to the audience what she thought of them? Was she trying to show her shame? She did a good job. That's the filth that's in the world. Now, nobody here would ever go to see a show of Barbara Streisand. I don't think I could stand to hear her sing anymore, though one time she had a voice. But the world calls her great. Is that great? A prostitute? Did she ever marry the guy? I guess she did marry the guy. She had a child, but I don't know. But look at your Swedes and your Norwegians. The Swedes especially. Come over here and shack up with men, live in adultery. When Ingrid Bergman tried that, we had a senator at one time who called her disgrace. But when she came back to America, they hailed her as a genius. I brought Gertrude Stein, not with her homosexuality, but she said a rose is a rose is a rose, and a whore is a whore is a whore. I don't care if she's Ingrid Bergman. I don't care if she's you. I don't care if she's me. You say, Brother Bear, why are you so tough? There was a time when Moses crossed, when Joshua took the people over into Canaan's land. And there was a guy there by the name of Achan who took the Babylonian silver and gold in their garments. And he brought sin and death into the camp. And Joshua said, my son, give God the glory. Confess your sin, what you have done. And he confessed his sin. They took the whole tribe out and destroyed them. I'm going to tell you something. Every tongue will confess and every knee bow that he is Christ to the glory of God the Father. It's about time we got serious about these things. We are, I know, because the prophet taught us. But we're too prone to let these things go by. I hide myself, I know, by my sarcasm and my derision. But it takes more than that. When them women passed by all doing those kind of rock and roll things, short hair, painted face, supposed to be virgin of Christ, I turned my back. How disgraceful. I turned my head weeping. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. Him standing there, me know that me a minister of the church. I'm a minister. And that's what I'd produced for him. And I said, God, I can't look. Let me die. Let me just fade away. As soon as it went out, every time one of them would come up to a certain place and drop off, just sound as it went away. Then I heard something like, onward, Christian soldiers, and I looked. And there come that sainted bunch of little girls, just exactly the way they was, all crazy deaf, dressed, hair hanging down their backs, smooth, clean, marching like this to the step of the gospel. Now, right away, someone says, well, we better have our hair hanging down, because Brother Branham saw it hanging down then, and he saw it hanging down the curtain beyond the curtain of time. Now, then a lot of some people out in Tucson pulled that. And so they looked, they're going around, old women going around, their hair hanging down like a haggis bag. Brother Branham said, why don't you tuck it up over your head and you won't sweat so much? Now you can run with anything the prophet says and run, 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 and run plumb into the gates of destruction. Why run with anything? Sit still. You still don't know that he's God. Remember, Brother Branham accused the people at this time they couldn't sit stand still for the resurrection. I preached a sermon on it. And I know I'm right because I said what he said and I took scripture on it. All right. Smooth, clean, marching like this. I guess the men were smooth and the men were smooth. Ladies smooth. Some of every nation. Instead of going down, they started going up. Wonderful. They weren't falling off, they were going up. I noticed one of them trying, two or three, getting out of line. Billy Paul tells me his dad let him know secretly someone he saw getting out of line, but of course he wouldn't tell anybody, which is a gentleman. So he saw the church of this age, but they got in line when he screamed. So we wonder, oh, he won Brad out of step. Wonder, could it be already passed? Could the bride be already called? Is that what we're going through today? She has to be molded and made in the image of Christ, and Christ is the Word. How could you be Christ the Word and be in the image if you had that stuff that was creeds and dogmas? It said one word changes the whole thing. She said, you made void my promise, my commandments, my word by your tradition. I don't want to have the rapture voided in resurrection. I want to be in it. I'm not here to fight. I don't care if anybody believes anymore. As long as I believe right, you say, Brother Bill, don't Brother Veil me. It's man to man and one to one nowadays, kids. What can I do for any of you? Nothing! Unless I have a little admonition or something. My merciful God, can I give a hair in your head? Nothing I can do for anybody. You want a meal? Sure, I'll give you a meal. Okay? Christ is the Word. That's the only one thing. That's the only thing. See? It's in there. It's in the Word. It's just, you see, there cannot be one thing added. Can't be a woman with one hand like a man, other hand like a paw of a dog. It's got to be exactly the Word of the Lord. Like He is the Word. The bride is a part of the bridegroom. The woman part of her husband because she's taken out of the husband. Oh, man, we've got to go into this sometime. Some of these things are so rich and so good, and they're true. See, these things aren't theoretical. These are real things. Eve was a part of Adam from his side, and so was the bride. Not taken from denomination, but taken from the bosom of the Word of God to this day, the rapture. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound. Time shall be in the dead, and the dead in Christ shall rise. The glory of the resurrection share. When the chosen ones shall gather home beyond the skies, when the road is called up yonder. Let's try all, friends, to be there. God bless you. It's been spoken. It has to come to pass. It will come to pass. And little people, no one wants to die. No one wants to be lost. Let me tell you, whatever you do, I don't care how well you go to church, how low you are to church, that's fine. Nothing against that. You should go to church. You do that. Keep on going to church. Whatever it is, throw away your traditions and move right up on into Christ. How are you going to get up there with Him and into? You won't get it by tradition. You got to get it by the Word. Get your own thinking thrown away. See? See, like the very thing of fruit, the very thing of character, the very thing of works. How do you know if you're not one to the Word and with the Word? And where is your character? Well, where is it? Where is your fruit? Where is your works? Where is your nearness? Where is your obedience? Where is anything? That's what I want to know. See, that's what people don't understand about this message. They go this, they go that, they go the other thing. Why just as you say, well, Brother Bale, you preach as though you got it all. How do you expect me to preach? I believe I have got it. I don't know that I've got it as though I'm vindicated. But nobody has. Read the books that go around. I wouldn't bother your brains with them. Bunch of hogwash and junk. And one guy quotes visions he's had. And what people have. I don't care what anybody had. William Branham was either Elijah or wasn't Elijah. He was either right or he was wrong. Brother Branham made a mistake. Fact. And then say they believe in a prophet. Then the prophet can't see anything. And who needs a prophet? Come on, church, we're not that kind of hogwash. I know you're not. Throw your traditions away. Keep moving up right into Christ. Because it's going to sound one of these days. That's trumpet. And you're going to be caught with the mark of the beast on you and not know what it is until it's too late. That's exactly right. Well, I'm not sorry I kept you. Now look. There's no way you can leave this meeting tonight and not know more clearly than ever what I preach, what I believe, what I stand for, what I'm saying. And I'm saying again, do not analyze anything Brother Branham says or receive it or anything I say, hopefully, in the light of a previous knowledge. Because you see, I have had to give up my previous knowledge on the two most important things of my life. Number one, the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Number two, on the revelation of the rapture. And the second revelation didn't mean too much anyway because I was confused to begin with. Because I had gone from one to the other, pre-tribulation rapture to post-tribulation rapture to heaven knows what. And I couldn't see anything even with the prophet trying to teach me individually. I wouldn't let my thinking go. And I went back and forth and I said, now you remember what I told him. I said, Brother Branham, when I saw the room getting dark, and I saw the spiritual atmosphere closing in and blanking out, and I became scared. And I said, Brother Branham, could I ask you one more question? He said, certainly, Brother Bale. I said, Brother Branham, I can't seem to follow. But just this one thing, is it thus saith the Lord, the bride will not be in the tribulation? He said, Lee, it is thus saith the Lord. I said, thank you, Brother Branham. I believe it. I will understand it. And I do. And I understand what no living Greek authority knows, and I don't care who he is, because I know something from God they don't know, which is a revelation. And that is that word in the Greek holds good every single time. It means great tribulation. It has nothing to do with the white throne, because the white throne is not a place of anger, resentment. It is not a place of rapid demolition. It is a carefully going through the entire record and saying, well, sir, I know you prophesied. I know you prophesied correctly. But there is no record here in the last book of life of you. There's a record in the book of life. But you see, you turned down the word and your name was taken out. The judge doesn't throw a tantrum, so to speak, though God doesn't throw tantrums. Please understand what I'm saying. When you're dealing with the judge, it is a cold calculation based upon a word. Then, the execution of the verdict. Now, in fury, he comes back judging the nations with that rod of iron. Blood flowing. This is different. One group comes up and he said, ah, your name I see is so-and-so. It's in the book of life. Yes, and he said, I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you came to help me. I was hungry, you fed me, and he said, that's what the record says? I don't remember. Oh, he said, when you did it to these brethren, he said, you did it to me. You come on in. See what I'm talking about? The judgment is set. You don't have to throw tantrums, pull deals. You don't have to show authority. It's already there. Well, it's a minute. It says here. Now call your witnesses. The man says, but didn't I cast the devil out of you, sister, when you could have died in the insane institution, your kids never want to see me again? She said, yes, you certainly did. But look, it says here that I'm sorry, but you were departed. When did we ever do that nice thing? Come here. Do you remember that person there? Yeah. Well, you did it to them. That was for me. I said, my. There's a difference. Oh, praise the Lord. That's right. Heavenly Father, we're glad to be counted of those who are counted worthy in Him that is worthy. And Lord, we've had a good time, I know I have, rejoicing and getting exuberant and loudmouthed even over the word, pressing points and everything else. But I still feel good in my heart, Lord, that even if I was rough, if I was this, I was that, and you know my heart, and I'm sure capable of being all these things because you know me and I know me. And I'm not in the resurrection yet. But it's sure been good to be here just the same anyway and go over these things and to know that we are simply not barking into a barrel. We are not saying different from the prophet. We are not doing it because absolutely we know this to be true, what you have set forth here, and it goes all the way through the word, and we have let our thinking go, and we are not going to re-examine our thinking because we know our thinking is right with the word. And that's what's wrong with a lot of people we know, Lord. You said they'd go back to the vomit. Why should we go back to vomit? No intention to. No intention. We will not go back to their theory of rapture, their theory of this and that, Lord, because we are looking at a word. And Father, but we would ask this little privilege of you, which we know that you, we have every right to ask, and we have confidence in asking it, and we know that you hear it because it is something that is in your word. It's what Paul said, bringing every thought into captivity and obedience to Christ. And your prophet William Branham, who brought the same word that the prophet Paul did, said, let your own thinking go. Now, Lord, that is what I would like to do tonight. And I don't know if I can, but with your help, I know I will achieve it. So will every bride achieve this, which therefore is not impossible. We can and do and will let our thinking go until, like Brother Branham, our thoughts will be of you. Our thoughts will be one with the word, and then the reflection will begin to come back where it will be. And then, Lord, we know the prophet said if two people ever have the same mind, which I think I'm quoting roughly, and we know that mind would have to be yours, it'd be a rapture. So, Lord, here we are ready and waiting for the minds to come together and the understanding of your beautiful word here, Lord, which is life at this time and which we're coming into, that we know there's the people are not going to die, are going to live forever. So, Father, how can we thank you now? Our hearts are full of love in a measure, in our own little way at this time. How can we know, Lord, how deep in this and that? But, Father, we will say this, that thank God, that we do thank you that you are working in us and you are moving and helping us to the extent that we know that we are coming up into thee. We believe you are with all of our hearts, that this richness, this joy, this everything that we see here, we want it more and more and more. And, Lord, we know that there's going to come a place then when that great cataclysmic change comes, the atoms literally explode into a newness, just like coming out of the grave. It's a new creation. God, as the prophet said, creating anew those that what that has even gone to gases because the Holy Spirit touched it, creating anew and bringing forth a body. And Lord, what a body is going to come forth. We praise thee, O Lord. Now, Father God, may you and you alone, this way that the prophet had laid it out, receive all the preeminence, and we in sincerity and sobriety, and under the shield of him who is our all in all, just mold us into that image. Yes. Yes, Lord, yes, we believe it. And Father, you know our hearts. Of ourselves, there isn't one thing in us of a human structure that would even want anything we're talking about. But that deep in there, let it scream. Let it come forth in these human vessels as, Lord, when you burst those gates of hell and took over. Take over, Lord, in these clay vessels. And whatever it costs, it's going to cost. And that will be less than nothing for the dividends that are coming forth. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, we come together, and I'll be continuing, hopefully, where we were on Sunday, looking up some things that we believe are pertinent, that are in progress at this point, in the riches which are found in Christ. And so that's right. Next Sunday, then, 11 o'clock. The Lord bless you. There's a little refreshment upstairs. And so we'll just leave the sanctuary quietly and go up there and have a little fellowship. I believe, Norman, you got a birthday tomorrow, something like that, coming up or something? When's your birthday? This month? You forget it? When is it? Tomorrow. I thought a little sweet little girl that I think is related to you, at least she's standing by there, kind of reminds me of the Lees, let the little bird out of the bag or something. So Norman has a birthday, and Steve has his parents and family here. And so we'll just have a little fellowship, all right? Lord bless you. Let's sing Take the Name of Jesus with you, Lord.